Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN.
I am Mike Lupica of MSNBC, MLB.com, and my new book, Labor of Love, Robert B. Parker's Blood Feud. Welcome to the last Sports Reporters podcast of 2008.
Should old acquaintance
That's right.
Be,
and I'm speaking sorry. Of old acquaintances, Ryan and I are going to consider, just to continue, just the two of us today, a conversation that began when he was at the Boston Globe and I was in college, and we have been having this conversation on television, in buses, in press boxes for a very long time. So I think we'll be able to soldier through without Mitch today. Bob, we start off with an amazing last day of regular season play in the National Football League. And for every time you start to get jaded about sports, Robert, you get a scene the likes of which we got in Heinz Field early yesterday evening as the Steelers and their plans fans well,
you know,
thought they might make
in-
the playoffs.
That emanates from baseball scoreboard watching. We all know, and it can begin as early as Memorial Day, you know, and it heightens in September. But football has a different kind of a twist. And this scene where the just victorious Steelers, having done their part, are now kneeling down or sitting, looking up at the big screen in the company of the paying customers, I might add, on the field.
Yep.
And watching their fate be decided and then have it wrenched, you know, and then have it end in that fashion with that terrific, depending on your point of view, that horrific or terrific interception by C.J. Mosley.
Bob, how about the drama of the new Browns versus the old Browns? And this kid, Baker Mayfield, trying to take everything. And by the way, people forget, Bobby, how the Ravens season ended last year, the horrific way it ended against the Bengals. And, you know, as much as I praise John Harbaugh, I'm not sure if they had lost this game yesterday, if the Ravens wouldn't have allowed him to go talk to other teams. And then when the Ravens, who for 2 months, I think, as great as the Bears defense has been, have been the best defensive team in the sport, Bob, when they needed to be great, when you thought Baker Mayfield was going to take, with his flair for the moment and the dramatic, was going to take everything from them, they got some incompletions and a pick finally.
No, they now entered the tournament, as the tuna would say. They entered the tournament as a real chic, dark, not, you know, not even dark horse, real chic pick to make a lot of noise. And of course, I'm going to yield to you right now because you were, in fact, a charter member of the kids fan club. I am a bandwagon joiner.
But I told you there was room on this bandwagon for you, Bob, because we have been friends
for so long. Glad,
no, and you've been my big brother. Yeah,
I'm snuggling in there.
Lamar Jackson, Bob, as Baker Mayfield has been one kind of story in Cleveland, and I told a Browns fan friend of mine the other day, I believe he will quarterback them to a Super Bowl someday. I actually believe that will happen. But what John Harbaugh did, first out of necessity with Lamar Jackson, and then just simply applying to the eye test that all of a sudden he had a team again when Joe Flacco was sitting down. They have lost one game since this kid got the ball, Bob, and it was in overtime, and it was in Kansas City. And all I kept thinking, Bobby, all I kept thinking was he may end up not making the playoffs because of that bizarre play. They were about to put the game away at the end of the first half. And over the top he goes, trying to score on a quarterback sneak, though he wasn't sneaking, he was flying.
No,
okay.
Flying.
And Bob, no matter how many times you looked at the replay, he pulled the ball back at the last second, thinking he had broken the plane. Mm-hmm. He loses the ball. And the only reason it doesn't become a 99-yard or whatever it would have been, 95-yard touchdown play, is because they blew the whistle. They blew the whistle, and that... So they don't put the game away then. They're lucky that the Browns don't score a touchdown. And the whole second half, as things just inexorably move towards what happened in the last minute, I was thinking again, Bob, that's how fragile sports is. That play may cost them the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, you're just right. But the fragility of nature, we can cite this time and again. No, it's wonderful. There's so much involved there. In fact, I'm going to talk about breaking planes and such in my parting shot. I just want to give you a little heads up on
but
that.
But they, you know, listen, do I think Lamar is ready to take them to the Super Bowl? No. Do I think that defense could? Yes. It's like looking at the Bears. Do I think Mitchell Trubisky is ready to take the Bears to the Super Bowl? Not so much. But could their defense do it? Yes. And it's after all the pinball scoring, Bob, earlier in the season, what are we seeing now?
Yeah.
We are seeing defense. We are seeing big defensive plays decide these games. And again, Bob, did you not think Baker Mayfield was going to take him down and kick a field goal and knock the old Browns out of the playoffs?
Oh, absolutely. I figured, you know, a 43-yard field goal was coming somewhere or something like that, and that was going to be it. No, no question. I mean, that was just – that's like the stunning nature of the pick and to have it end in that dramatic fashion. Yeah, it was tremendous. No, I definitely do. I think you're right about Mayfield. I mean, he is the goods, and that whole draft that they had that year is sensational. And that's a plum job for somebody out there. And I don't know. I'm sure Greg Williams was going to be interviewed, but I don't think he's going to keep that job.
Bobby, and I'll tell you something. Everybody talked about it, and we'll move on to other games because a lot happened yesterday. I keep looking at this quarterback draft, Bob, and the only question mark, and I'm not even sure it's a gigantic question mark, is Josh Rosen in Arizona. Okay. I just haven't seen enough of him. But Josh Allen looks like the real deal in Buffalo. I believe Sam Darnold's gonna be. We've seen what Baker Mayfield can do. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're watching in real time what Lamar Jackson can do. Every one of these kids, if not, you know, on their way to Canton, has turned out to be what the scouts thought they would be everywhere except, obviously, with the New York Football Giants, Bob, because they obviously think you can get one of these kids every single year. And but Lamar wasn't supposed to be this guy, Bob. It was supposed to be Flacco's team, but Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl, all that stuff. And it's just... It's like Saban making the move to Tua, you know, in the championship game last year, or Dabo making the move to Trevor Lawrence. It just changed everything with the Baltimore Ravens.
It really did, and it just he caps it off. We have two touchdown runs, 90 yards himself rushing. How long? What the longevity factor is? Is he going to be a 15-year NFL quarterback doing this? Probably not, but. But the thing that everyone keeps citing, you know, the experts are citing, which is what makes them so dangerous, is that it's something different that you are not used to preparing for, and you can't prepare for until you see it up front and closer how incredibly speedy and elusive he is. No film is going to help you. And maybe next year somebody figures something out, but is there enough time for somebody to figure something out right now? And that's going to be an interesting question. And, of course, it's backed up by that great defense.
It just staying on this game for a moment longer, Bob, did you not feel, and we'll get, to college football later in this podcast, did you not feel watching Lamar Jackson, or have you not felt watching Lamar Jackson, that he's just a bigger Kyler Murray? He does this, Bob. It's the same speed set. I'm watching with the Lupica boys yesterday, and we're trying to figure out who do we think is faster, Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray?
No, I they are. It is a similar package, a similar idea, no question. There's going to be, of course, the Murray thing is a whole other, you know, fascinating thing with the baseball aspect of it, and the pros and cons for that young man. What an interesting choice, you know. Which, and not the first guy to have it, but you don't get it too much anymore because multi-sports athletes aren't the, and you know, not the way the world is anymore. Anyway, yes, he's very much very, very similar, and fun. They're just, you know, they're both electrifying and fun to have around.
Okay, we're talking about winners right now, but Bob, the big loser yesterday, financially and aesthetically, were the Minnesota Vikings, who paid an awful lot of money for Kirk Cousins. And, you know, I'm on record about Kirk Cousins, and obviously this isn't all his fault, Robert.
No.
He's what Mr. Parcells used to call a jag, and it's not a Jacksonville jag. It's just another guy. They would have been just as good off with Case Keenum this year, and the game didn't mean all that much to the Bears yesterday, and they put it on the Minnesota Vikings, and they go home, and it'll lead us into our conversation about our new favorite team, the Philadelphia Eagles, okay? And they go home, and that was the component that the Eagles needed. Oh, what an egg the Vikings laid against, at home, against the Bears.
132 yards on 33
Shocking. I know.
Attempts. Dude, that is a woeful yards per attempt.
They blame it on their offensive coordinator now, the one they fired, Bob? I don't think so.
John DeFilippo, yeah, no. It is a lot of angst in Minneapolis right now, no question. But you're right. When you get to the other side, the guys that got in, and they're going in with big smiles on their faces and spring in their step, the Eagles are, and they feel that, you know, hey, we don't give a damn about anything that happened in September, October, or November. We are who we believe we are. That's the way they're thinking right now.
It's such. What if Foles complete like 25 in a row yesterday?
Yeah, just 25, 28 out of 33 total. Oh yeah. Oh, speaking of Foles, how about this thing with the bonus? You know about this, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, for people who don't know, Nick Foles had a contractual incentive that we would pay him $1 million if he participated in 33% of the snaps. He gets hurt in this game, goes out in the game, and he finished with 32% of the snaps played. So, we saw what the Yankees did with Sabathia, which was the right thing. Can we assume that the Eagles will do the right thing?
Yes, they will. And Bob, okay. Let's look at the Eagles, and we know about all the injuries. We know about the injury that put Foles back behind center. We know all that stuff, okay? But man, oh man, they go into the playoffs, and we know where they're going. They're going to Chicago. It's like a you're welcome game. Okay, yeah, we put you in the playoffs. Now you got to come. You know, now you got to come to Soldier Field and play us. Okay, I get all that stuff. But Bob, is it crazy to think that momentum could carry them through next Sunday? And could they get on one of those crazy rolls like your favorite team, your favorite team, Eli Manning's Giants, have gotten on twice to win Super Bowls over the last, decade or so?
Mike, we got the season done. We've watched the unfolding of it. We've seen the early explosions, offensively oriented explosions of the Chiefs and the Rams. We've seen Houston go from dig out, we'll get to them, but no three hole and make it. We've seen the firehouse finish of the Colts and everything. Well, we've seen it all. And what do we? My conclusion is, to answer your question, yes, it's conceivable, because I don't think there's anybody that is invincible.
Only invincible team looks like the Saints at home. That. So, listen, it's going to be. We've talked about this for a couple weeks now, because listen, we've both been in the Superdome. We've both been there for Saints games, okay? Yep. It's gotten more powerful there. It's gotten louder there, okay? Maybe it's been all the years they've been waiting to win another Super Bowl with Drew Brees. I don't know why, okay? But maybe the most indomitable force right now is not any team going into the playoffs. I call the first Mercedes-Benz dome on Poydras Street.
Yeah, it absolutely is. As a well-known coach of our acquaintance, Michael, would have said, it's another peripheral opponent.
Peripheral, Bob. All right, so let's talk about Foles for one more minute. Okay, 28-for-33 yesterday, Bob.
Yeah, well, how about that?
Another 221 yards, two touchdowns. He threw one really bad pick, really horrible pick yesterday. And so now the Eagles are in the tournament. A month ago, nobody would have thought this were possible, okay? And the ramifications, the ripple effect of this, of Foles doing what he's done again and starting another run in Los Angeles, okay, is, that's a subject for another day. But, man, oh, man, I know how good the Bears' defense is, okay? I know how good they looked against the Vikings yesterday. We always say, where's the game? It's in Chicago. But I'm not. This to me is a pick 'em game next weekend.
You still like the Bears? I think I'm predicting 2, 3, 1.5. I don't know. Yeah, I think. Look, Mike, I'm looking at all the matchups, and we could dissect all the matchups of the wild card weekend, and make a case for all 8 teams. You know that in this weekend, I think very seriously. I'm looking, staring at Indianapolis and Houston. They both have got dug out from the ashes. Things. The Chargers have been the under the radar best team. You know, team of all the top teams that people aren't paying much attention to. We just talked about Baltimore, Seattle. Russell Wilson is reminding people how good he is. Dallas, always a subject of interest. And now we got this. Yeah, it's a tremendous four matchups, I think.
All right, let's talk about the NFC for a second, okay? Because, we've talked about the Saints. They had nothing to play for yesterday, blah, 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 blah. We talked about the Superdome. But when you look at the field, okay, I think that there are question marks now about the Rams, as great as their record has been. Okay, the Saints even looked a little sketchy down the stretch. And you just referenced the Seahawks. Okay, we've seen the Seahawks and the Cowboys, which, by the way, is a terrific game. Oh my goodness, what a good game! Next weekend, but it's not impossible to look at both of those teams at their best, Bob, and see them making it all the way to Atlanta.
No, that's one thing I'm saying. I mean, I could make a devil's advocate argument, right, for any of those 8 next week to get to Minneapolis. I mean, to Atlanta on February 3rd. I could absolutely make a case for any of them. Seattle and the Wilson has been terrific lately, and they've rebuilt the defense after the big names are some of the big names are no longer there, and absolutely. And Pete Carroll has. I think it's been one of his best year, frankly.
They were just meandering along, and they were in a slog. I mean, remember they lost to the 40, what was it, like 3 or 4 weeks ago, they lost to the 49ers.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're dangerous, and you know, that's fine. Good thing Dallas, lucky, don't have to go there, but Dallas will be home against them. So yeah, no question. And Dallas is a Jekyll, you know, dare I say Jekyll Hyde, but something like that. You know, they're how about more like the Box of Chocolates team? I don't know what to expect from them, but at their best, Dak threw for almost 400 yards yesterday.
Bob, I I watched the end of that game. I don't know if you did too, but with like a grisly fascination, having grown up a Giants fan in upstate New York, okay? And I'm watching it with two Giant fan sons, and I said, even after the Giants kicked the field goal, even after the turnover, I said, this has overtime written all over it. And Chris Lubica said, Dad, Jason Garrett is not going to just kick. They're going to go down the field and he's going to go for 2, which is exactly what happened. Okay. But Bob, I actually think when you talk about momentum, and even though it was the Giants and even though they sat Ezekiel Elliott, I thought that was an incredibly positive way for that game to end for the Cowboys yesterday going into the playoffs. For Dak Prescott's general wellness, for him to do that, and if anybody hasn't seen it yet, go look at Prescott to Beasley on 4th and 15 to make the game 35-34. Oh my goodness, what a play!
No, I did not see the end. I forget what happened. Wherever it was, we got distracted. So,
Bob, did you know? By the way,
I know where I was, but I figured
I didn't know this until I was informed of this by Zach Lupica yesterday. I didn't know. Maybe Lou Pellegrino, did you know that 1 knee down is the same as 2 feet down?
I did, because of listening to John Madden all those years.
1 knee down, Bob, and that's how they called it, an incompletion on the field. And Beasley just laid out, and he got a knee down before the elbow hit out of bounds, and it was absolutely, as soon as we saw the replay, Zach said, Dad, that's a touchdown. And I said, why? He says, 1 knee equals 2 feet. Prescott looked like the real deal. He's had a couple of those games over the last month. The inexplicable, right. Bob, they were 3. Talk about the Texans being 0-3. The Cowboys were 3-5. The only game they lost was that inexplicable day when they got shut out by the Colts.
No, I had absolutely dismissed them at that point. Totally. I'm sure you could go find some derogatory remarks I was making about the Cowboys at that point. No question, but America's team.
Bob, as you remember, when we used to sit with our late friend, Mr. Schaap, and I would say on the show, Dick, you know, there were some unfortunate comments made a couple of weeks ago about this team or that team. And we're all talking at once here. And who can remember who said what? And Chap would always look at me and say, no, I remember. It was you who said it. Okay. So, yes, Bob, I do remember all of those negative comments.
But here they are. Cowboys.
But Bob, with I can hope. Remember, we haven't even gotten to them yet. I can remember my own negative comments about the New England Patriots. So, and how this was the end. And guess what? They don't have a game next weekend.
They have been continually unpredictable. And now they're coming off two, you know, a real nice win yesterday in terms of how they played until you factor in who that was against.
Hey. Are you saying the Jets are a less than worthy? Wait, are you saying Gangrene is a less than worthy opponent, Bob?
But boy, that was a putrid performance by them yesterday.
Oh my God.
And you know, and how big an ending? How about the symbolic ending? You know,
well, Bob. So, I will have a parting shot in a little while about the Jets firing another coach after you know who left them at the altar nearly two decades ago and the ramifications of that. Okay. But Bob, I actually think that even though you're right, even though it was the Jets and even though it was a classic, let's get to the bus and get to the golf course game. Okay. I thought there were a lot of positives yesterday for the New England Patriots. I do.
Yeah, they really were. And the way Brady looked much markedly different than he did last week.
Even moving in the pocket, he looked good.
Repeatedly. No, he looked better. He moved better. Threw better. He's had a very erratic year passing, Mike. I mean, I'm watching eye test. I'm telling you, I have. And even, you know, isn't as completely accurate as he used to be. But yesterday he looked good. He spread the ball around. Seven guys catching passes. Three different, different guys catching touchdown passes, and they look good. And their defense has gotten better, you know, as they've gone along. And Gronkowski, the play that did not count was a telling play, though. He had this old fashioned Gronk catch and bucking Bronco, you know, run. Nobody able to drag him down for 15 yards. It was called back because of a illegal block by the other tight end, which I hate that rule, stupid. But anyway, he looked good when they threw to him, so possibly he's going to be a factor.
You know, it's interesting, Bob. I was looking at his stat line yesterday, okay, mm-hmm. And actually he ends up now with 29 touchdown passes. It's not crazy out of line with most of the seasons he's had, other than the 18-0. You remember that game? They end up playing the Giants in the Super Bowl.
I forget what that's.
Okay, but Bob, listen to this. This is actually interesting. Starting in 2009, okay, 28, 36, 39, 34, 25 in 2013, which probably was another year when we started to write him off, 33, 36, 28 2 years ago, 32, 29. So stat-wise, it's not crazy out of line. I mean, he had that one surpassing regular season, okay? But the rest of the time, his numbers, I don't want to call them conservative, but they have not been eye-popping numbers, touchdown pass-wise.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And the thing about it is that always been that he's kept the INT thing down, you know, as a rule. That's been a calling card, and obviously. And it's never been about the numbers except for the year when he had Randy Moss and Wes Welker, and he threw for 50. That's the only time. You're right. It's not about the numbers necessarily. But he did look a lot. Last week, if you saw that guy, you'd say he's on his way out. You saw that guy yesterday, you say, you know, hey, you know, you can win with this guy.
Bob, when you look at the field in the AFC, and obviously if they got to go into Arrowhead eventually, yeah, it's a problem. But there's no team that you'd say is going to be a big favorite against the Patriots. I Patrick Mahomes has been wonderful. But is he ready for his close-up? Say if it is a championship game in Kansas City against there's muscle memory that's going to come into play now for the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. I think there's no question about that. And they're nobody's going to be saying, "Ooh, goody, we're going to play the Patriots." No, I don't think so.
Who's your favorite? Bob, seriously, who is your favorite in the AFC?
I'm looking, and I was afraid you were going to ask me that question. The team that I that had a good year that no one talks about is the Chargers. And I think the big question there, I think, is Philip Rivers does not have a glittering postseason resume.
And look who he's got to play and where he's got to.
I know.
It's crazy because of the record.
But I guess you'd have to say Kansas City until further notice, but not by a whole lot.
What about the Houston Houstons? Because
now, Watson, I saw the final numbers. You know, the year he had was really spectacular. And I know you love him, too. But I still can't get my head, into the idea that they are this good. I mean, I'm a stubborn holdout on the Texans. The other thing, Mike, as you well know, is that if they do play the Patriots, and they could be playing them as early as next week, they wilt something happens to them, and now sooner or later that might be reversed. But there's a talk about muscle memory. The Patriots against Houston is usually a joke.
All right. So, I mean, you look, Bob, when you look at the field, okay, the Saints, other than, a weird loss early to the Bucs, and, they had a weird loss early to the Bucs, and yesterday they had a throwaway game. Okay. Other than that, they lost one game. Okay. So, on balance, yes, they have to be the favorites. Yeah. The Rams, even though the offense slogged around after they lost the crazy game to the Chiefs, 13-3 is still 13-3. Then you look at the Cowboys, okay, who win. They go from 3-5 to 10-6. So they win 7 out of their last 8. Okay. The Texans win 11 out of their last 13. Mm-hmm. After a ditch that you from which you are not supposed to be able to crawl out of in the National Football League. The Ravens, Bob, you look at their 10-6, but you can't count it as 10-6. You got to count it. The Lamar Jackson Ravens, that's a different football team.
Well, and in all these cases, we don't care about September, October. You know, we can maybe start talking about November. Absolutely. I mean, the Ravens are, they are 7-1. That's what they are. And I think we have to identify all the teams. Where are they now? That's all that matters now. Where are they now? One thing it's – I'm just looking just to before I don't say something really stupid here. No, I'm pretty sure. In this wild card weekend, there's no team that backed into anything. They're all trending upward. Every last one of them, right? Indianapolis, Houston, Chargers, Baltimore, Seattle, Dallas, Philadelphia, and Chicago. They're all trending upward since Thanksgiving even. So that's really impressive.
All right, and wait, I'm looking, and there's one team that there's one team and one game that we are not talking about, okay? And for all the hot teams. And again, they were so much under the radar. And that's the Colts, Bob, okay? They start out, I'm looking at their schedule. 1, 2, 3, 4. They start out 1-5, 1-5 to 10-6. So, and obviously Mariota doesn't play. I mean, poor Blaine Gabbert. At one point, I turned to my sons last night and said, I think I'm better than him. I did. I don't mean to be mean to Mr. Gabbert, but the Titanics were never going to win that game. That's Bob. That's a bigger blowout if Luck doesn't throw an inexplicable dumb.
Pick to put him back
in the game. But Bob, they're 1-5. They're now 10-6, and they got to come into this game. I don't care who they're playing next week. Thinking, yeah. We always use this expression, attention must be paid. How can you not pay attention to Luck and the way he's played? And as Tony Dungy keeps saying, a big, fast defense that has also been good enough along the way to shut out the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, no, they're really got it together. And also, I think we all agree we like the coach. And we like what they've done, And Luck, the idea of how far back he's come is almost getting forgotten now. But, I mean, there was serious question as to what, if any, future he really was going to have.
Okay, they played the Texans, by the way. It was a really good game. I completely forgot it. 37-34 early. Mm. They lose to, wait for it, Ryan, the New York Jets, 42-34, okay? Yeah. Since then, they beat the Bills by 37-5. They win 42-28. They win 29-26. They win 38-10. They beat the Cowboys 27-24. They beat the Texans 24-21. A really terrific game. They beat the Cowboys 23-0. The Giants 28. They can score and they can stop you. And the only loss, talk about inexplicable games, was 6-0 to the Jaguars in this straight. Or they would have run the table after losing to the Jets. When, by the way, you had a right to think their season was over.
Yeah, no question. I mean, nobody. We were not even talking about them beginning of November. No, it's not even possible that they are. But that's why I really like it. The more I look at this and think about the where all the teams are at the moment, and maybe one question right away is how healthy is Foles? What's going to happen with him?
Right.
We're going to hopefully get some word, within the next 24 hours as to what his status is after hearing those ribs and on Sunday.
But Bob, you just made a great point. Okay, let's assume hopefully that Foles is healthy. Okay, mm-hmm. Nobody's not trending in the right. This is why this has been to me the most interesting regular season I can remember in the National Football. I can't remember a more interesting and compelling regular season than this because of all the the new young stars. Because of all the narrative switches in places like Baltimore and in places like Philadelphia, but there's not one team who of all the teams coming into the playoffs, okay, the 12 teams in the tournament, Bob, who doesn't think they have the proverbial puncher's chance to go all the way to Atlanta.
Truly, I mean, I it's not hyperbole. It's not. You're not manufacturing something. This is the gospel truth, because all these eight teams have something going for them, and this weekend, and then of course we'd get to the following weekend where the seeded guys are, and certainly they all have a right to think they could go all the way. No, it's a very, very interesting, and in history, as you made a previous allusion to the Giants. The Giants once did it all with a 9-7 team that was playing its best ball at the right time. It's so much, that is, it so sounds so simple, and if it's that easy, why everybody doesn't do it? But that's the trick, and a lot of these teams appear to be the candidate to get that honor of having peaked at the right time.
Should Mike Tomlin be in trouble in Pittsburgh?
I don't. And boy, in Pittsburgh, we're just so unused to that at all. I don't think so. I think he's earned the right. I think he's earned the right to have a little bit of a mullet.
I remember a line one time when the Giants missed the playoffs at 10-6, and John Mara stood up and said, "We don't fire 10-6 coaches around here." I'm paraphrasing, but that's pretty much what he said. They did finish 9-6-1, but Bob, man, it's a disappointing 9-6-1. It just is.
Yeah,
stuff
left on the. They talk about points left on the table, and they left games. They left games on the table, and it's looking back, it's going to be a very, very miserable offseason as they reflect about it. And it all began with the bad vibes of Le'Veon Bell. And then they thought they had everything solved. I thought, we all did. It was with Connor. Then he got hurt, but they beat the Patriots, and since they were on a roll at one point, the scoring, everything was going great. But come back the tie. Oh, go back opening day. The tie with Cleveland.
Yep.
Anyway, I doubt. The stability, and for people who haven't really done the math on this, the last three head coaches of the Cleveland Browns in reverse order are Mike Tomlin, Bill Cowher, and Chuck Knoll.
Yep.
And that takes us back into a pre-cable television. Okay.
All right. Bob, we have talked about this all season long, okay? And that is Khalil Mack's impact. Okay. Oh. Somebody else, Mahomes will be the MVP. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Okay. But you can make just as strong a case that Khalil Mack is the most valuable. If it's like after the baseball season, Bob, yes, Mookie Betts was the most valuable player. JD Martinez to me was the most important player. Okay. Yeah. Because he completely transformed the Boston Red Sox with his presence in the middle of the order. That's who Khalil Mack was with the Chicago Bears. So my question to you is, because I think in so many ways they might be the great question mark of the tournament, even more than Lamar Jackson and the Ravens because of the defense. Can Mitchell Trubisky game manage them and not and make keep his mistakes down the way he did yesterday, no turnovers yesterday, even though he only threw for 163 yards, because he didn't need to throw for more than 163 yards. Can he game manage them to the Super Bowl?
I wouldn't put it high on the on the order of preference. That would be, you know, but I do like him. And he does have, you know, the modern mobility that these quarterbacks all seem to have now. But I probably not. But
did you know anything about Jordan Howard coming in the season? Because I sure didn't.
No.
I had to look him up yesterday to see that he went to Indiana, and he nearly got 1,000 yards for them.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. No, that, no. So that's a good question. Trubisky's a good question. But, you know, they could be a lot worse off. I can tell you that. They could have Kirk Cousins. Oh, I don't want to go there.
No, that's right. No, but you know what? It's why, you know how stuck I am on the fact that the Giants didn't take a quarterback.
And you mentioned that, I think.
It
was
going
one
to
of the shows we did in November. Made a passing allusion to that, Mike.
I love Saquon Barkley. This has nothing to do, this is nothing against Saquon Barkley, but I keep asking you this question. How many running backs have run their team to the Lombardi Trophy without a quarterback? And the answer is none of them. Even when Terrell Davis lit up the Super Bowl that time, he did still have a guy named Elway playing quarterback for his football team, okay? And I know that there have been great running performances in the Super Bowl. But week to week and season to season, you got to have a quarterback, and that is why. And you look at it's one of the reasons why this was such a rich season, Bob, is we had young quarterbacks to talk about this year.
Oh,
and in a way that we have not talked about them in a very long time, and a very varying levels of success, Bob. Okay. Trubisky is not Lamar. Lamar is not Mahomes. Darnold is not Baker Mayfield, but for the first time, we had young stars at that position you actually wanted to watch in the National Football League.
Oh, absolutely, and it's lived up. As you said earlier, they have lived up to the collective hype for the most part, showing us all kinds of promise and hope and achievement. It's been good. And it was the year to get a quarterback. And of course, the teams that are in need of one are distraught because the current crop is not anywhere near and up to that standard. And even the question as to who would be the first quarterback to be taken and how high, and it might not be too high.
And Mr. Ryan, you know, for all of our talk, okay, about young quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson of the Houston Texans. I looked this up yesterday, is 23 years and 3 months old. He's a baby. Wow. Okay. He's just scratching the surface, and he lost his rookie year pretty much to a knee injury. And is Bob, he is playing at such a high level. The Texans don't get discussed enough. And you're right. If they got to go into Foxborough, that's a whole different ballgame for them. But, oh, my God, Deshaun Watson is a superb football player.
Yeah, he really is. And he's a scary, scary guy because he's big. He's everything. He's big, fast, elusive, got the arm. No, and he put up huge numbers this year.
26-9, 4,000-plus passing yards.
And 551 yards rushing, too.
And this is a nice segue because where did Deshaun Watson play his college football, Bob? Where did he play it?
Let's see, North Dakota State? No.
No.
Coppin State? No.
He played at the new Alabama, who plays the old Alabama in the big game.
That's right.
Clemson, Bob, they didn't just beat Notre Dame on Saturday afternoon. They threw him down a flight of stairs because guess what? Dabo's now got his brand new Deshaun and Trevor Lawrence. And we talked about this the other day, Bob. If there was going to be one big difference in the game, it might be that kid. And did he look anything like a true freshman to you, Ryan?
No, nor did the guy that caught two of his touchdown passes, Justin Ross, who was another true. So we had true freshman to true freshman. And I was also impressed with the great catch T. Higgins made.
Yep.
They showed us a lot, and they did it all without Dexter Lawrence, suspended because they got other first-round draft picks that can rush the passer as well. that was a very impressive performance. The only question in my mind, looking back at the game, is how was it only 3-3 at the end of the first quarter?
You know, I really felt that Clemson looked nervous. Somebody always does. You know, somebody, you know this, after a layoff that long, even the 2-week layoff, okay, that somebody always deals with it less well than the other team, okay, if you can put it that way. But then once they rolled. And how about Brian Kelly, 5 years after he loses 42-14 to Alabama in the championship game, said, I didn't think this was like that. It wasn't nearly as bad. No, you're right, Brian. You got beat by 28 by Alabama, and you only got beat by 27 by Clemson. And Bob, you know, we have to talk about this a little. It's the last time an undefeated Notre Dame team outside of a conference will ever be considered an automatic lock to make the Final Four.
Okay, now there has to be full disclosure for America and all ships at sea and our friends in Australia and elsewhere who may be listening. You were listening to a pair of Boston College graduates.
Yeah.
All right. Now, we are understandably perhaps not fully sympathetic toward any issue regarding the Fighting Irish. Is that fair?
Yes, it is fair, but
I mean,
you know
I'm
what?
Not. You can. I don't want to speak. I'm not. I'll admit it. So I have to filter what I'm going to say.
Yeah, but just because I don't root for Notre Dame doesn't mean I can't look at them as they are. And we have raised this concern for a month, Bob. Georgia's better, and Ohio State's better, and either one of those two. I don't even know if Central Florida would have done any worse against Clemson on Saturday than Notre Dame did.
Of course, that's a great imponderable. We'll never know, and I'm starting to come around on that one a little bit. But well, you know, maybe I to the point. Not, I don't know if it's to the point where I'm actually going to watch the Fiesta Bowl, but I'm curious a little bit. But here's what we're getting at, folks, is very simply this. What the next time that a Notre Dame team presents itself for approval to the committee with a unblemished or one-loss record, will they committee members say, you guys laid an egg twice before. We're not going to put our hand on that stove again. Sorry. Or will they, you know, or won't they? I just... We talked about this on Friday. If they better not get blown out, because there might be some serious ramifications for the future, their future in this whole thing. And I'm just asking. I think it's conceivable.
Bob, do you think Notre Dame, and we're going to get to the Alabama game, which was, for a game that started 28-0, is one of the most entertaining college football games I've ever. The idea that could ever possibly have, that Oklahoma could possibly have made that a game against that team from that hole is ridiculous. But do you think Notre Dame will ever go into the Big Ten? Because that's the only logical landing place for them.
They keep digging in. They dig in.
They don't want to be in a conference, Bob. They want to tour like the Ice Capades.
They don't. No, we know that. And they are little. This is not misusing the word, which is a very misused word in the English language. They are unique. Yeah, there are other independents, but they are unique. They are Notre Dame. They have a history and a mystique, and unlike any other school in America with any sport. No, and I don't care what you're talking about, Kentucky basketball or North Carolina basketball or Kansas basketball or Alabama football, no college in America is more associated with a sport than Notre Dame football.
Yep. Yep.
And their people embrace it. I was just thinking to myself, funny, maybe this morning when I was doing a little homework here, as what it's like if you go to Notre Dame and you don't give a damn about football. I mean, I just there's a concept I can't even wrap my head around. Anyway, Notre Dame, and they take themselves so seriously, and they take it. They love their independence. They love their, you know, their network. They got a network, although the money that they get out of that has been being dwarfed by, you know, what the conference payouts are now. But still, they have their network, and they love their situation, and they don't want to give it up. And
Bob, you know, I think they can finally start making some money around the Golden Dome now, because they don't have to pay off Charlie Weiss anymore.
Yeah, by the way, they're not the only ones doing that. That's nice.
Talk about somebody. Oh, by the way, did you see the other day that he's doing, he wants to be an OC again somewhere? All right, Bob, they had to be competitive on Saturday to validate what, you know, they had to validate the sheer Notre Dame-ness of them. Okay.
Yeah.
What they couldn't do is have it happen exactly like it happened against Alabama, but it happened pretty much. There was not even a game in the second half. There was such a clear difference in the talent level, even though Brian Kelly said it was, well, he had to say that afterwards because he's still recruiting, but it looked like a JV team again.
Yeah, they were. Well, we might as well get right to it. It's just so clear that there's a one and a two, and then we draw a line in college football, at least in the year 2018/19. There's no question, that the two best teams, we saw them assert themselves, and there's no question. But yeah, that I was thinking, all night, oh boy, those people in Georgia. But Georgia and Georgia's thing, they had two losses, and
it was never going to happen, Bob.
And the thing is that they had every opportunity to beat Alabama and didn't do it.
And Bob, just one more second on Clemson before we go to Alabama. Okay. Don't you think it's remarkable that in the time of Nick Saban, the greatest college football coach of all time, the Belichick of college sports, okay? Don't you think it's remarkable that Dabo has been able to do this with an ACC team at Clemson? Because they are, again, they're in a league of their own, okay? It's Alabama 1 and Alabama 1A. And here they are again. It's like the Cavs versus the Warriors in the NBA Finals. It's remarkable what Dabo has done.
There's no real valid explanation. They did have a run once before. Danny Ford, they won a title back 28 years ago, I believe it was, and all that. But still, then they received
outside the law a little bit, though, Ryan.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it is a tribute. And I'll tell you what, though, Dabo, the little interaction, the brief couple of interactions I've had with him, I can see him going into that living room and just winning over everybody. Everybody. And he's
talking about the rest of y'all,
such a stunning contrast in approaches and style and personality, at least public personalities, between himself and Saban. He actually looks like he's enjoying himself. Like, this whole process is fun,
How about when he came running? Bob, it was such a great timeout. How come he came? Look how far he ran to get that timeout the other day and get that call overturned.
Yeah, yeah. No, you got to, it's easier. He's a lot easier to root for than the other guy, I'll tell you that. You're right, Mike. There's no rational explanation for that. And sometimes we get these things in sports. There was never a rational explanation why Jim Calhoun was able to make Storrs, Connecticut a destination, but he did, and no one saw that coming to the extent that it did. And this is it's football country in South, South Carolina. I'm sure they produce some good players, but in high school, but it's very good. And they're in certainly no signs now. They're going to have the quarterback. We know he's going to be back next year. Oh boy.
So, I mean, he's big, strong, and fearless. And we always talk about this. Was he up to the circumstances of the occasion? Yes, he was. Now, yes, Bob, speaking about the other guy, what's his name? The guy who coaches in Tuscaloosa.
Saban, right.
Has anybody ever enjoyed playing him to another national championship game less than Nick Saban did on Saturday night?
Well, first of all, it's interfering with the recruiting process. You got to play this game. Yeah. You got to keep going another week. We can't. Now, I mean, I don't know how he relaxes. He has this place in Georgia, right? And maybe he's got a boat, and maybe he just saves it all up for 2 weeks. And
can you imagine when him and Belichick get together, Bob? What a yuck fest that must be! Just the one liners flying back and forth, and.
And they are, folks, you have to know, they are Goombas.
Boys. They are boys.
They're buddies. And they
all the way
together.
Back to the Cleveland Browns. They were on the same staff. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it really is.
All right, Bob, so it's 28-0. And I, Bob Ryan is not only one of my best friends, he gave me my entree into this business, along with Bud Collins at the old Boston Globe. What were you thinking at 28-0? Did you think it might be, the Bears against the Redskins?
I'm thinking that they're going to score 50, and it's going to be 50-10. There's no evidence.
Ugly.
Let's go back. I love this. This game. Okay. Number one, Oklahoma with this horrendously porous defense.
They can't cover
wins
anybody.
The toss and elects to defer.
Oh, my God, Bob. Did you not?
So right away, I'm thinking, that Lincoln Riley has had a brain fart.
Bob, we said Zach Lupica turned to me and he said 7-0. And why would you want to play Alabama down 7-0?
I hope they're exploring that on the Oklahoma City Oklahoman. You know, I want to know if they come on. Okay, and then the first play from scrimmage is a 50-yard pass.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So now eventually there's a fumble and all that, but that's 7-0. Boom, boom, boom. I got to give you a number, Mike, and I'll just then when it was 21-0.
Yeah.
Which was 3 possessions, 3 touchdowns. This is at 1:33 left in the first period.
Okay.
3 possessions, 3 touchdowns. The total offense numbers were as follows. Crimson Tide, 191. Oklahoma, as Tony Reale would say, squadouche.
Yep.
Zed, zip, yep. Zero, nada.
Yep. Bob.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be 50-10, Mike.
And then Kyler Murray, God bless him, he makes it a game. He makes it a game running and passing. But I will say this. Do not dismiss the other quarterback. I know he's throwing against the Oklahoma defense, and I know they can't cover anybody. I get that, okay? Tua was 24 for 27, and he had more passing yards than Kyler Murray did, which I think would surprise most people who watched the game because it looked like Kyler was throwing the ball all over the place. If Tua needed to throw for 500 in that, if the game ended up 48-45 instead of 45-34, okay, Tua was doing whatever he wanted, okay, and reminding everybody that it was his Heisman Trophy until he hurt his ankle.
Oh yeah, no, he did nothing to diminish his image at all. Not at all. No, it wasn't. No. Yeah.
And we will have time on Friday to handicap. We've got 2 podcasts to look at the championship game on Friday. But Bob, here's the elephant in the room. Unfortunately, it's a 5'9", 170-pound soaking wet elephant. Okay. Can Kyler Murray play in the National Football League at quarterback?
Okay. The answer is yes. And my opinion, that there's always somebody who's special. And you know, we went through it. You know, our friend Mr. Flutie proved that you could do it to a degree and certainly.
And would have done it to a bigger degree if he'd ever had a coach who was
totally mismanaged in his entire NFL career. He was totally mismanaged. I don't doubt. We both agree to that. And he's a BC guy. All right. This kid may be the exception. Without question, and it's just going to be interesting to see what the decision will be. Is he give back the $4 million to the A's and stick with football? I don't know, but all I know is as a football, I've never seen him play baseball. But I look at him and I see Mookie Betts' body. That's who he is. He's 5'9". Same. That's all. That's all size Mookie Betts is.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, but it was 4th pick. You know, that's big, very good. But football, we know we've seen him play football, and he's electrifying. I think in the right circumstance, I think probably could.
You know what, Bob? I agree with you. It's been hard for me to get to this place in this conversation. But my oldest son, Chris, said to me yesterday, he said, Dad, this is the way the game's going in the National Football League. Okay. And so is 5'9 all that much shorter than five? You know, is he all that much shorter than Baker Mayfield? The truth is he's not. And he, you know, and I know that, you know, the new popular phrase in football is playing in space, Bob. Mm-hmm. What can he do in space? But the fact is, this kid, it's almost like he creates his own reality on the football show, on the football field, and gives himself the space he needs to be what he is. And again, he's playing the same game as Lamar Jackson. He's just not as big as Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's very true. And what can I say? He's a worthy recipient of that trophy. Mike, I had one final thought before we leave the Alabama thing. The sight of Nick ranting and raving on the sidelines.
Oh, God.
You know, at that point, so he had talking point at halftime, up 31-10. But when that game's over, I mean, he's got the best of both worlds. He's got the W. And, oh, boy, does he have things that he can bring up to them to get their attention before they lace him up again. I mean, you know, that's the first thing. I was taking notes, and I got at the end of the game, I got Nick has lots of talking points.
But how would you, I forget what the kid's name is, I apologize, but How would you have liked to have been number 74 at halftime after all those penalties, Bob? Do you think he had a good halftime in the locker room or a bad halftime in the locker room? Because I think he had a bad one, Bob. I think he had a bad one.
I don't think it was one who would like to relive. Let's just put it that way.
All right. Well, listen, as usual with Ryan, the hour has flown past. It is time for our parting shots, and I will defer. I will defer it much as...
All right, Michael, explain.
Much as Lincoln Riley deferred, Bob, and knowing that when it's time for me to give my parting shot, I'll be down a touchdown.
All right, Michael, explain this to me. Dallas wideout Cole Beasley is denied a touchdown after making a spectacular airborne catch.
Yeah.
Because while his left foot is on the ground near the back of the end zone, his right foot is in the air.
Uh-huh.
Clearly within the end zone before it comes down out of bounds. No TD by rule. Both feet have to be down.
Sure.
Meanwhile, Saquon Barkley leaps from the 3-yard line, holds his hand above the plane of the end zone, and has the ball knocked out. But because the ball had broken the plane, it is ruled a TD. Huh? So going into the end zone, it's okay. But going out of the end zone, it's not okay. This is contradictory. The NFL needs to stop this 2 feet in stupidity and adopt the college rule. 1 foot is sufficient. This is football, not the Cirque du Soleil. And don't get me started on down by contact. When did a fumble stop being a fumble? If someone is tackled and he loses the ball, it should be a free ball until the whistle blows. Period. And Happy New Year to you, too.
Now, I alluded to this before, Ryan. People may not remember this all that vividly, except if they're Jets fans. But nearly 20 years ago, Bill Belichick was the official coach of the New York Jets, the guy who was going to succeed Bill Parcells, who'd been his boss there the way he'd been his boss with the Giants. Then Belichick changed his mind a day later, or Robert Kraft more likely changed it for him, and Belichick held a loopy press conference and was off to Foxborough. And guess what? In the annals of Boston and New York in professional sports over the last, 100 years, it was exactly the football equivalent of the Red Sox letting Babe Ruth go to the Yankees. It was the curse of the hoodie beginning that day. That's what it was. The Patriots have now won 5 Super Bowls with Belichick as their coach and played in 3 others. The Jets? The Jets fired another coach, Todd Bowles, yesterday. That means the 6th coach with whom they parted company since Belichick left them at the altar. And by the way, if you think the Ruth comparison is over the top, Belichick's Patriots have won more championships than Babe's Yankees did when he was with them. Thank you for listening to us today. We will have the full complement back on Friday with much to discuss as we lead into Clemson and Alabama and a big football weekend. Please continue to download this podcast. Subscribe to it. Go wherever you go to get your podcast. Go to radio.com. But again, we have continued the Sports Reporters conversation that lasted nearly 3 decades on television. And I swear we're having more fun doing this twice a week than we used to doing it once a week on Sunday. So for my dear friend Bob Ryan and me and Mitch and our producer Lou Pellegrino, Happy New Year, everybody, and we'll talk to you on Friday.